Well, I don't know about you, but for my part, we could have just kept on singing about heaven if Brother Dick's voice would have prevailed, and we could have done that. Anyway, maybe this evening hour, as we continue our singing and study of Scripture during that hour, we can have that privilege. Ask you a rhetorical question. Do you want to go to heaven? I think if I could have a thorough discussion with those who do not believe the Bible, that their reply would be, well, if there is such a place as heaven, I would want to go there. The Bible sees fit, our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit of grace sees fit, to tell us about both heaven and hell. Evidently, we need to know about both. Hell and how to escape it. You may remember we studied that subject last week. But the happy subject, heaven, and how to gain it. That's our thought for the few moments that God has given us this morning. No more wonderful thought. What is heaven like? Well, while human words, that is, words of man's own conception, would certainly fail us here, yet it seems in these closing words of God's book that he has indeed chosen figures of speech, word pictures for us, in order for us to be able to say without hesitation, without reservation of any kind whatsoever, heaven is the most wonderful place that any person could ever conceive of, could talk about, could dream about, could say, that's where my heart is. That's what it is all about while I'm journeying here below. I want to go to heaven. A place of complete happiness. If we think about heaven, we say there is no place on earth that is like it. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no sorrow, no cry. There'll be no more pain. All of those things are of the former days. What a beautiful place is heaven, the home of the soul. I would encourage you, if you need that kind of encouragement, this afternoon when you go home and you are at rest of the afternoon hours, just open your Bible, read and think about, picture in your own mind these words that are found in Revelation 21 and 22. The population of heaven is something that is wonderful to think about. For the very first time, in the truest meaning of that, we will be with God. We will see Him face to face. We will be with our Savior, whose death we have just commemorated along with His resurrection, His ascension back to heaven itself, and His coming again to receive us unto Himself. Jesus, our Lord, that we can read about in the Gospels, that we can find out everything that God wants us to know about Him. But we're going to be like Him, John says, because we will see Him as He is. All of the true and the wondrous angels are going to be there. Michael will be there. Gabriel will be there. Those myriads of God's messengers whose names we do not know, who have been in eternal service to God, they're going to be there. All of the apostles are going to be there. Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, Peter, Andrew, and Paul. I don't know that will be the way that I will want to occupy my time in asking and finding out about all of the events that are recorded here in God's Word. Where did you go? Where did you preach the gospel? And Moses, the great lawgiver, Elijah, Jonah, and Micah, Isaiah. They won't just be people that we talk about or that we read. They will be there. All of the saved, all of our loved ones from days gone by that have been obedient to the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose precious memories we may hold so dear to us, we're going to be reunited with them. Our little infant children that some have lost while they were still babes, they'll be there. Will you be there? It's a land of endless day. There'll be no night there. Revelation 21 and verse 22, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gate shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there." The tree of life. That's what our brother Mickey read to us when it says, "In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Can you imagine yourself in the same imagery that is pictured here of being able to walk by the river of life? Of being able to reach out, as it were, and to take of this fruit of the tree of life and being able to partake of it, to live forever and ever. when we've been there 10,000 years, we've only just begun. There's an old song our dear brethren used to sing it. Everybody that talks about heaven ain't going there. I hope that makes an impression on you today. Our lesson is not only about these wondrous beauties that I very feebly have tried to describe to you. It's about how you can get there. How to gain heaven. To gain heaven, yes, does indeed mean that we escape the punishment of hell. But oh, the wonder of the reward. I wonder how hard we really are striving in the midst of our busy, distracting, disturbing world, that we're really, really trying to go to heaven. How do we do it? Well, friends, some way or other, you yourself have got to figure out how to go about loving God. A lot of folks talk about it, don't they? Loving God. In your heart of hearts, how real is God to you? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might. That's everything, isn't it? Everything about you. Inside and outside, to love God with all of your being. Oh, there's no reason why not. I think every one of us could say there is nothing about God that would not cause us to feel otherwise. He's our Creator. The very reason why you're sitting in this pew this morning is because that God who loved you made you. That's what it comes down to. Ask as much as you will. Why am I here on earth? And it all comes back to the fact that God planned it that way. He created you. He's all powerful. There's not a thing in the world that man may think about that needs to be accomplished, that has been accomplished, that we cannot say God had that ability. God brought the worlds into being. How dare we doubt it? How dare we blaspheme the name of God by saying the whole creation is an accident. There's no rhyme or reason or thought that is behind that. How foolish, how vain, how sinful. He made the worlds and the things that are in it. There's not a thought in your heart that, lo, God already knows that. There's not a motive. There's not any conception of what you plan to do for good or for evil that God does not know about. Use any words that you want. The biggest words, the very largest vocabulary cannot begin to describe our wonderful God. Nobody loves you more. His love, His mercy, His grace. That's our God. You He made alive, Ephesians chapter 2. You He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. Do you want to go to heaven? Make Jesus real to you. Not somebody we read about in literature. Not someone who will either be blasphemed or will be spoken of in glowing poet's terms. A good question, an apt question, if you're thinking about heaven at all, is to ask yourself, what does Jesus mean to me? Now, what I'm about to say does not discount the importance of these things. The question is not, do you read your Bible? The question right now is not, do you attend worship service? The question is, what does Jesus mean to you? What does He mean to you? You're going to have to get that answer straightened out in your mind before you can ever really think about going to heaven. Who is He? What should He mean to you? Oh, it's all right if you say He is real. He actually lived on earth. There is both the divine and the historic records of His life. That's fine. That's a beginning. You see, your friend. No, I mean really. Whenever you're listing your friends, do you list Jesus as your greatest? Oh, I think it's appropriate if we look at John 15. You remember Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In verse 14 of John 15, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. How do you treat your friends? To love him who first loved you, to love him who gave his life for you. What else? I wonder how many times, I haven't counted this, I wonder how many times in the divine record do we read Jesus looking at somebody right in the eye and saying, follow me. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Deny yourself. I wonder how many people there are out there in the world who say, I want to go to heaven. I want to follow Jesus in that way. But I don't want to deny myself. Reason why I've never become a Christian is because I really don't want to deny myself. Make him your guide in all of your manner of life. Make him your guide to be willing to follow his teachings. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your souls. Make him your Savior. He's the only one that can save you. When he says, no man comes unto the Father but by me, he means just that. You can't save yourself. Can't be done. While we're on the subject, make heaven real to you. How often do you think about heaven? You say, boy, Gene, let's get real. Tomorrow morning, I've got to think about all of the responsibilities that are given to me. I sure won't have time tomorrow morning when I wake up to think about heaven. Dream about it. During the day when things get rough and people are contrary and ugly to you and the job is weighing you down. Think about it. Read about it. But more than that, believe in it. You want to go to heaven? You know, I'm not exaggerating at all when I say, if you really want to go to heaven, you have to be willing to give up everything else. Jesus puts it like this: what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Over in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, John describes the world that he has in mind when he says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then he says in verse 17, the world fadeth away, is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Our dear religious friends have it all wrong when they talk about a paradise earth. This whole world's going to be burned up. You put your confidence in this world, you build your mansion here on earth, you have your heart instilled in your savings account, you're going to be so sadly disappointed, dear friend. Work. How you like that word? I'm not finished with the sentence. Work until Jesus comes. I have, and I consider it a privilege, gone out into the country areas of Alabama and Tennessee and Florida. Maybe an old brother there dressed in bib overalls has been called on to lead the congregation in prayer. And he said this, "Lord, wear us out in your service." I don't think I've heard those words said in a long, long time. You say, "Well, I don't want to be worn out in the service of God. If the boss asks me to work 72 hours, I'll do that. But to work in the service of God, why, he wouldn't require that, would he?" Have you looked at Revelation 14 and verse 13 recently? "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.'" Those who are in heaven are not going to have to work anymore. What works will follow you? What labor for the Lord will follow you? You know, when God looks down from heaven, he's not going to say, "Blessed are you because you're the head of a corporation." Did you know that? He's not going to say, "You're blessed and you're bound to go to heaven because your boss thinks you're the best worker in the firm." That earthly work that you are spending hour after hour in every day is not going to get you to heaven. It may get you a better paycheck, and you may be more worried about the world economy than anything else, but I'll tell you, dear friends, it's absolutely worthless when it comes to going to heaven. Did you know that the lowliest trash man can go to heaven? Did you know that the beggar, if he does not have the wherewithal to do better, can go to heaven? Rich man, poor man. Everybody can go to heaven if they're laboring for the Lord. Do you really want to go to heaven? Be willing to sacrifice everything that you've got. If there's even one thing in your life that is more precious to you than going to heaven, you're not going to get there. For I reckon, Paul says in the old King James language, I reckon that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. What have you got to do to go to heaven? Well, you've got to answer heaven's invitation. It's the most wonderful invitation that you will ever receive. I come back to our text in Revelation 22. This is what I read, beginning with verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. You want to do that this morning? Do you want to answer heaven's invitation, that of the Spirit and of the bride and of the Lord himself, as he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? Won't you do that as we sing?